and in Hollywood.
Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us hunt some people for God.
Hey.
From every tribe and language, people, every nation.
Hey.
Well, there's a resurrection coming.
When is your time to rise and shine?
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Hey. Of Yahweh.
It's bringing us power through unity.
Hey.
Well,
harmony. So thank you for coming in tonight to join in this discussion. This is a discussion for all of us to participate. I hope you're ready to give your voice and express your feelings, because this is really all about us. Hashtag we too. There have been so many abuses to men and women over the last 100 or more years. And so it's no longer a hashtag me too. It's we too. Man and woman, male and female, we all need healing because we've all been abused on some level, verbal, physical. Let us come together and begin the work, continue the work of healing. So tonight, we're talking about this very strong, controlling, patriarchal system that the earth has been under in terms of war, dropping bombs, and instead of diplomatic practices, we're dropping bombs on our Facebook friends' countries. And so it's time for a real shift in this patriarchal system to one of Mother Earth bartering. This came to me early this morning that we needed to talk about patriarchal versus matriarchal. Excuse me, water. And I didn't really know how to put this show together this morning because patriarchal, matriarchal, I thought, yeah, okay, we've brought that subject up before, but how am I supposed to talk about this on this day? And what happened is I called a very dear sister who I haven't spoken to in a couple of years, actually. She was on our show, or she was a guest on our show at one time. And come to find out, she's been battling cancer of a sort. I felt really sad and at the same time guilty and really disappointed that I had not taken the initiative to call upon this person and see how they were doing. But I'm happy, I'm glad that the Most High connected us this day to hear about her celebration in herbs, that if she did not have the herbs, access to herbs that were healing her body, she probably wouldn't be alive, she said today. I said, wow, that's so powerful to hear that testimony from someone battling cancer who's not talking about how many rounds of chemo they've already had and had the hairs falling out and all that. But she was talking about the value of the herbs that she's been taking that are healing her body slowly and thoroughly. So with that conversation came an aha moment that our bartering system, for those of us who are moving into more consciousness, moving into the fourth, fifth dimension reality, coming out of the old paradigm of victim and you're wrong or you're right, I realized that what we really should be focusing on is developing the gardens that we can barter with our neighbors to help them heal. That's one of the things that came to me today. So we're going to talk about that as well as this strong patriarchal system that has had many of us hypnotized in being the best consumers we could be, spending all of our money, most of our money, a majority of our money on things we really don't need that we want. So we're going to talk about all that tonight, and I hope that you will call in and comment 215-383-5863 to contribute to the awakening, to the consciousness raising that we want to have happen tonight, that we will become less of consumer wants and advertising zombies, victims of advertising, to more of being very conscious of what our needs are, focusing on our needs and our need to help our sisters and brothers who are needing healing by providing and growing food and herbs that can help them. And then we can barter with our brothers and sisters and not even need all that green money that people are totally bamboozled and hypnotized with these days. It just amazes me how easily people are bribed today. A donut can get you to do things that might kill you, and all the other things that they're bribing people these days with. Okay, this is where we are. Celebrate, celebrate. Everybody's getting a new TV if they get something in their arm. Some people are getting lottery winnings if they get something in their arm. So I want to start tonight with a song, a love song to the earth, earth love song, because I feel like, I feel like Mother Earth has been so abused. When we talk about hashtag we too, we got to include Mother Earth in this. Oh my goodness. What we have been doing to Mother Earth, not just consuming all these gadgets and products and things we don't really need, and then throwing it in the dumpster for Mother Earth to deal with. So let's just say a little Earth love song before we get started to just show appreciation, praise, and bring us up to a level of awareness that this is about our Mother Earth, which is inside of us, which is us. So it's called Earth Love Song, if I can get it to play. And I just love this song that gives praise and honor to Mother Earth, as well as all of us.
Open letter from you and me together, to Mars in our hands now.
Find the words that matter, say them out loud, I make it better somehow.
Looking down from up on the moon is a tiny blue marble.
Hypnotic state we've all been in with the patriarchal energy controlling us to buy what we don't really need but what we want. And we're in such a state of imbalance now because we've all been buying what we don't need. So this especially became aware of a commercial today that really hit home about it. John Batiste is a young man, 35 years old. He plays on the John Colbert show every night. He's the musical director. And he has a song that I play on Friday now called Freedom. This brother is just so amazing and very spiritual. And he has a commercial that came out. I was watching a commercial of his on my phone. I didn't realize it was commercial at first. I thought it was his regular song, I Need You. He has another video along with Freedom video called I Need You. And it's a beautiful jazz song with him and a woman having a little dance in an art gallery. Only this time, the commercial was about a very expensive car. He got out of the car, and it was this, I think, an expensive Buick of some kind, an expensive car. And he was singing part of his I Need You song, and I realized at the end of the commercial it was about the car. And so that was a reminder of what we have been programmed about for many years now, that we need an expensive car. Why do we need an expensive car? Because we've been trying to keep up with the – it was used to be keeping up with the Joneses. Now it's keeping up with the Kardashians. The Kardashians have been in our face, whether we like it or not. Everywhere we look, the Kardashians are showing up. I can't even open my phone without okay, what happened here? I can't even open my phone. My studio just disappeared from my phone. Where did it go? Okay, I can't even open my phone these days. I think my studio just disappeared. Oh, dear. I can't open my phone these days without the Kardashians showing up. So I think I've just lost my studio. So let me go back in here and sign in. I'm not sure where it went. I have lost – my laptop crashed on me. And my laptop crashed on me, and I've been using my tablet here. My tablet is great when it comes to live Facebook. But it's not so great with my Blog Talk studio. So I've got to go in here. I just lost my studio on my phone. So I think I'm going to have to buy a bigger phone until I can get another laptop. Okay. You don't have special permissions for this location. What is this? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on here. Okay, gotta try again. I'm using my phone for my studio, which I don't usually do, but it is what it is. So I just lost my studio, so I've got to go back and try and sign in again. I don't know what happened to it. So I hope I'm still on the phone. It says I don't have sufficient permissions for this location. Okay, here we go again. So I may not have a studio. I don't know what's going on here. Sign in. Does not have sufficient permissions for this studio. What the heck? So not sure what's going on here. I'm still on the phone, so I hope if you can hear me, Blog Talk, somebody send me a text because I've lost my studio. I don't know what happened to my studio. But I'm still on Facebook Live, I guess. But I've just lost my studio, which is kind of weird. Let's see. Can you hear me?
Kind of weird.
Okay, I'm still in the Facebook studio, but I'm not sure about Blog Talk Live studio because I've lost my studio. So I'm trying to get back in, okay, to Blog Talk. Anyway, maybe I can play. So bear with me a minute while I try and get back in the studio because this is kind of new for me to try and
Blog Talk Radio.com. I was in here at one point, and then you do not have sufficient permissions for this location. I don't know what that means. So I evidently got in on the wrong whatever. So I'm trying to get back into the studio. Here we go. Blog Talk Radio. All good. At Hotmail. Okay, hopefully I got the right password. Maybe I had the wrong password. I'm not sure. You do not have sufficient permission. This is so weird. So if you're still listening in on Blog Talk Studio, I'm just trying to get back in, but it's not letting me in. So actually, you can go to the Female Solution if you are, we might have to go to the Female Solution studio to get back into the studio, because they're open, but I'm having trouble getting in on Soul Purpose Healing, which is happening. Okay, so Brother Eddie Harris can hear me. Thank you. And I'm just trying to get back in the studio, but because I can't see anybody in the studio right now. And so I'm trying to reset my password because it won't let me in. So I'm getting there sooner or later. Outlook sent junk. Okay, reset my password. Here we go. I'm going to try again. Thank you. If you can hear me, hold on. I'm coming back in, hopefully. These things take time. So anyway, tonight we're talking about the patriarchal system that has been very controlling. And if you were on our Friday morning show, we talked about divine health, because this is all part of the transition or the movement to divine health. Because if we're going to have divine health, we have to come out of the controlling patriarchal systems that have been really controlling us. Okay, so yes, we can hear you. So I'm trying to get a new password because it's saying I don't have the right password. Okay, here we go. Resetting my password so I can get back into the studio and play some, enter a new password. So we're getting there. Okay, here we go, hopefully. Okay, I think I'm back in the studio again. Okay, we're back in the studio. Hallelujah, thank you, Yah. All right, here we go again. All right, so where were we? Technology. It's wonderful when it works, but when it doesn't, so we're going to try this once again. Here we are, from patriarchal system to Mother Earth bartering. So the key discussion is, and please call in if you have a comment. We'd love to hear from you tonight about the wants versus the needs. We have been totally controlled, psychologically controlled by our wants, and particularly with the media and advertising.
So here's the thing. Back in the 1950s and 60s, and I mentioned for those of you who may be just joining us, how my brother John Batiste did a commercial recently that from his song I Need You. It's a beautiful song with him dancing and lots of brothers and sisters of all races dancing around him. And he comes out of a car in a pink suit. He says, and that's the freedom song. But then he has another song, I Need You, in a art gallery. But this art advertisement is for a car, a very expensive car that he's having. I need you is the song and the car. And this is what we've been bombarded with for the last 100 years or so, more and more. So in the 50s and 60s, for instance, there was no branding outside of your clothes, your shoes. You know, we wore those real cool tennis shoes. No branding whatsoever. We wore clothes. A lot of us had clothes that our parents made. So we didn't even think about buying expensive clothes. Nowadays, in the 70s, we pay for status now, okay? So if you have a little Air Jordan on your shoes, that makes your shoes go up to $100 or $200. I don't know what they are these days. But the branding on our clothes has pushed the price of the shoes way up. The shoes, the clothes, everything's more expensive because we stick a brand on it and we say, oh, Michael Jordan, we need to wear Michael Jordan shoes. And so you could take the brand off and the shoe would be cheap as any other shoe. But these days we have competition. So we're looking at, you know, in the 50s and 60s, no branding on the outside. 2021, everything has a brand. You got to have an expensive looking purse. You got to have expensive looking everything because you're the status that we want, everyone wants. We are working hours more for overworking for money, instead of leisure. And so now people are making more money, but what are they doing? They're working and spending till we have people who can't even put those expensive cars in their garage because they're using their garage for storage. We have the storage business has actually gone up 1,000%. There's a new storage place on every block practically in the Orlando area. You can find storage everywhere. Because people are working and spending their money. So the dream, the upscaling of the American dream is all about new consumerism. We are bombarded with all this advertisement. So and the visible, people want to have visible status, right? And the big three visible status items are your car, your house, and your clothes. We have to have SUV now. One of the most polluting vehicles out there where everybody wants to drive an SUV. It's trendy. It has prestige. And so instead of going with just needs, we are more and more going toward what do we want in terms of prestige and status. Houses, mansions all over the place. People can't even afford them. They abandon them. And then inside of those mansions, people are stuffing them with all their things that they want, that they've been dreaming about, that they've been working hard for. And then the media is constantly advertising that we need more and more and more. And that's, I think, the reason why people are so easily bribed these days with putting an injection in your arm, because they have been watching us, the corporations do studies, the big brother is watching everybody, taking notes, collecting data, and telling us we need more and more and more, more and more and more. I have no idea what time it is, so somebody have to let me know what time it is. In case, let's see, 1:29. We're coming up, I think, on the break, but I don't see Naima in the studio. So So that's what we want to, we want to raise the consciousness tonight on wants versus needs. The basic needs of foods, clothing, and housing need to be unraveled in terms of what your wants are versus your needs, because we got a debt problem in this country, in the world. Consumerism is out of control. And the whole, this goes back to this very strong patriarchal controlling system that has kept Mother Earth in the background, sick and tired and cancerous. And the time for bartering, my suggestion is everybody needs to be thinking about gardens so that we can barter what we really need, food, clothing, and shelter. And I've got a tiny house. I'm ready to barter this tiny house away. Somebody can be creative about how, what they can give me in exchange for my tiny house. I'm ready to bargain, because it's sitting in storage right now, and it's a very basic housing supply for someone in the Florida area who may need housing, who may be homeless, but it does need to be hooked up to sewer, water, and electricity. So this is an introduction to our show tonight. I've got a caller who, let's see, who pressed one, not Mama AZ, I'll come back to you, but 708. Adobe Flash Play. Oh, here we go again. Okay, 708-602. Your mic is almost open. Your mic is open. Yay! Things are going smoothly. 602.
Greetings, family. Greetings, my sister. How are you doing? Yes, the technical difficulties is always there, but we hang in there with you, and we're going to always be there, so. It's no problem.
Thank us. How are you, Brother Eddie?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm great. The spiritual journey that is leading me down this beautiful journey is fabulous. And I'm just busting over to always share different points. And when you key on the same number, some of the same words, but basically those same numbers and what you're talking about that I'm working on, I'm like, it's in divine order. So lastly, that you touched on basically was how people are programmed to get these beautiful as they see because it's been advertised or it's somebody else's name. It's nothing they made. They put they stuff, but it's still, again, fashion statement, clothes, their house, and their cars. You know,
yeah,
and granted,
yeah,
a lot of it is beautiful. It is beautiful. But again, all of it to me has a number. And before I just look at what you're showing me on the outside, I'm looking at the inside. And the inside
is
inside of you.
Right.
See?
Thank you.
So for me, all this glamour and all, what are you trying to hide on the inside? Talk to me. See?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
As you say, you want more and more and more what? Stuff. That's all it becomes at the end of the day. Stuff. And when we look at that number of more, it's 13. That's God. That's what you need more of. And 31 is spirit. We call it the spirit of God, but you want more stuff. See? Because most of us don't know our own personal assignment. Assignment is for, it's a spiritual assignment with the lessons that we're supposed to get to be able to share, but that's another road. But keeping on with the topic at hand, because it's beautiful, that patriotic, from that patriotical to Mother Earth, bartering, oh, it's beautiful. Because as you said, that patriotical, which we know all around this world, patriotical is 39. Government is 39. That's the patriotical that's controlling the world. And it's that one world government or order that they called it. They're trying to put together right now. And it starts with the three, patriotical man. Man is three. He's the one to come up with this nonsense. But getting back to Mother Earth, beautiful. Mother 26, Earth 24. Added together, that's that 50, that 5, we got 5 on it. That's Mother Earth. She's talking to us in these numbers
of being on your five, because the bartering comes to two, it's 38. And that's the communication that we must now again have with Mother Earth in order to barter. It's the communications through the vibrations that we feel. Because Mother Earth and barter together comes to 88. 8 plus 8 is that 16, which is the 7, and the 7 is our consciousness. It's nature. Mother Earth to barter is nature that we're returning through our consciousness, as everyone is talking about. But again, the way I see it is the way I'm supposed to see it and deliver it, but it still should inspire those with, even if they don't know these numbers, the words don't lie like the numbers don't lie, because I'm using the words or the numbers behind the word, and we all feel it, as you said, that consumerism. We're out talking about vacations and recreations. And that vacation, which is no more than that 7, your consciousness, the recreation is a recreation of our consciousness. What are we running from with a vacation? We still got ourselves and dealing with the same problems we left from. It's a state of mind, because that's the real fight that we're going through. Our mind, our particular thinking, which is actually being purged. And since I've been using that lately, people, real quick, which is okay, get off into different interpretations and definitions of purge. The movies, The Purge, this, that, and the other, that deals with the war or fighting. But that's right. That purge is no more than your thinking. And that fight is inside of you. But the purge that they got us fighting against inside of us, the one, is called psychological war. That's the purge. And the war right now that they're pushing is called the Delta variant. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
The names change, but the numbers remain the same.
Yeah.
Because the psychological war that they pushed before that was still 19. It was called COVID-19.
Yeah.
Still on the one. Still with that war. And it's psychological, because psychological is fear. Same number, 8. Thinking, 8. Mental, it's our mental thinking that we control. The only way they control it is that we give power over what we choose to believe. So we got to get back to that nature of bartering, as you said, with Mother Earth, because we see what these governments around the world are trying to do. And those of us who are awoke, all we do is stay within your reign, be that pebble within your circle, and let it vibrate outward from there. We ain't got to go out and try to save the world. Just start where you are, because that's all we can do. And again, be the teacher that you are by practicing what you preach, because that's the perfect example of the teacher, to be the example of what's being said, showing what's being done. With that, peace and love, and I hope that added to a slice of the pie.
Well, definitely, I thank us, especially you and the us, because one of my notes that I want to bring out is consumerism has become a substitute for human connection. And you said it perfectly, that we are not connecting to Mother Earth, who is us. Mm. We talked about on Friday how minerals are everywhere. Minerals are the stardust from the cosmos. The planets bring us minerals just from the dust in our atmosphere. So we're so busy buying the next new car, the next new clothes item, the next new Kardashian flashy whatever, that we've lost our connection with other humans. And then the patriarchal system promoted that even more with 6 feet distancing and lock-ins and lockdowns. And instead of us, many of us going inside and doing less consuming,
We were ordering on Amazon and getting everything delivered. I saw more Amazon trucks driving around during the pandemic than ever, I think, because people didn't, the drug of consumerism. So thank you for bringing out the fact that we've lost connection with Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is in each one of us. So if we don't see the Mother Earth in my flesh and your flesh and the connection to Earth that we need to get back to going barefoot in the Earth, connect. I mean, one of the simplest visible ways to connect to Mother Earth is just take your shoes off. And we can't even do that, many of us, because we're afraid of what might happen to our feet or whatever. I'm not sure what all the fears are around taking your shoes off, but that's a very important negative, positive. I think you brought this out on Friday about the number 9 and the words, the F word being both a negative and positive aspects of it, of these curse words that people use. And one way we can balance all that out is to just go barefoot, do grounding work in our daily activities. That's the divine health. And then tonight we just want to carry that over, that divine health over to our choices that we're making daily on whether to connect to Mother Earth or to connect to your things, your stuff, because we've been drowning. We are drowning in our stuff. We got more people renting storage facilities than ever, and we've got more Americans discarding products at a higher rate. They're buying these products and then throwing them away. We have this recycling idea out there, but people are buying more and more and then throwing them away. So what's with that? You know, we are so out of balance right now, and this show is really designed to raise our awareness of how we can make different choices in three very important areas, what we're driving, or even our transportation. Maybe we don't need a car, because when you think about the amount of money you got to spend on a car, the maintenance, the gas, the insurance, what else goes along with a car? A car is not just what your month. And if you got a car payment, new car depreciates as soon as you take it off the market. So why even buy a new car these days? Because of the status, right? We want to look good, people to recognize how, you know, we're making the money and we have status, right? But that car, the expense of owning a car today is huge, in my opinion, and gas is going up. So where are we placing value these days? In our car, our housing, and our clothes. Those are the three big visible areas where people make choices, not based on need, but on want. Who needs a four-bedroom house, three-bath house if you don't have children, really? And some people might say, well, I have guests, I have big families come and visit and that type of thing. But staying at a hotel, is that possible rather than paying a huge mortgage? And I know that people buy houses. If you're making a lot of money, you may need a house payment to offset your taxes. But actually, I don't think you can even do anything with your mortgage. That's not a write-off anymore. So even mortgage interest payments are no longer write-offs, right, for tax purposes. So that excuse is out the window. So what else? What other reasons do we have to buy a big house with all the maintenance on it and all the insurance and all the other things? Versus, as I said in the beginning, a friend of mine is struggling with cancer, and I had no idea until I called her number and said, okay, how are you doing? Oh, I've been battling something in my body, a cancer in my body. I said, oh, my goodness, I feel terrible. But then so many people these days are struggling with their health, and that's why we talked on Friday about what does it mean to have divine health. because so many people not only are dying, leaving their bodies, which is a reward. If we look at it on a positive note, it's a reward when people are leaving their bodies these days and not having to deal with all this. But people are sick, really sick these days. I mean, I've heard of so many people struggling with their health, especially after these injections in their arm, that we're going to have to be dealing with a lot of infirmities and sicknesses. So this show is really intended to help us start prioritizing better and start thinking about our fellow neighbors and our families, how we can help them better by reducing the amount of money that we are spending on things out of control. It's really out of control. So all Americans are these days are what they call emulating the affluent. They want the lifestyle of the rich that's wasted by all. And I give you a good example of really kind of insanity that we have in our earth. Somebody sent me, I think it was Kwame, sent me a picture of 24 women at the airport coming back from the Dominican Republic after a BBL. I didn't know what a BBL was, but I looked it up. I Googled it and found out a BBL is a Brazilian butt lift, okay? So a lot of women want to have big derrières. For what reason? Somebody tell me why you need a big butt these days other than being like the Kardashians. This is just a perfect example to me of us, many Americans, emulating the affluent. Because the Kardashians flash not just their bodies, but their wealth and their houses and their vacations and all that. So why would you spend money to go to Dominican Republic to have a Brazilian butt lift and then go back to Atlanta? These women were photographed coming back in wheelchairs, no less, and going back to coming through the Atlanta airport. I don't know how they found out they came from Dominican Republic. Somebody knew. And coming back to Atlanta. Now, if anything goes wrong with that BBL, what are you going to do? Oh, my goodness. You're going to just have to go and are you going to fly back to the Dominican Republic? I'm sure these women had this sign, some kind of disclaimer. I don't know how you do that with a medical procedure like that. They're injecting something into their derriere and making a huge butt. And then what for? Are you a prostitute? You selling your butt on the street? What the? That's just the most insane thing I've seen all week. Is that women would spend money for that kind of thing in another country. And then here we have the Haiti. Haiti is right next door to the Dominican Republic, if I'm not mistaken. You got the same piece of land that houses Dominican Republic over here, women flying in from Atlanta getting BBLs, Brazilian butt lifts. And then on the other side of this island, you got Haitian in total chaos, killing one another, and poverty, extreme poverty, political uproar. It's just insane what's going on. But here is what I see is the good news, that we are going from a third dimension molasses, slow transition of materialism, consumerism, slow transition, you're right, I'm wrong, victim, into fourth dimension, where we leave all that behind. We let go of, we detach from the drugs, we detach from the materialism, the need to be affluent, the need to be a Kardashian, like the Kardashians or the Joneses. And we're going into the fourth dimension, and people are just, we're being dragged into that. Some people don't want to leave this third dimension of material consumerism. And most of us, some of us, many of us, are like, yeah, let's move on. I have had enough of this stuff, enough of this challenge of stuck in victim It's all blame, 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 and then bling, 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 and then Jordans and whatever label, I don't even know what labels they're wearing in clothing. Oh, but we got to have a Gucci bag. I know someone has a trunk full of Gucci bags. Why is it in your trunk if you're spending all that money on purses? There are some purses these days that cost $1,000. I'm like paying $10. If I pay anything for a purse, it's going to be less than $20. And then if it wears out, oh, well, maybe I don't need it. But this is where we are today. It's such insanity that you got to have a break sometimes, which is why I'm so grateful. I was able to go to Vero Beach last weekend. I spent 3 days with the sunrise coming up doing Tai Chi. That, to me, was divine health. And I want to encourage all of you to move in that direction of seeing not a need for another Gucci bag, certainly not a need for a Brazilian butt lift, and certainly not a need for a more expensive car. Cars depreciate. We have got to come out of this status mind and trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Kardashians. So let me go to the phones again. Let's see, who is this? 773-221. Thank you for calling me.
Yeah.
Your mic is open.
Thank you. You know, I remember listening to a seminar Texas.
You're not clear. Can you adjust your mic a little bit? I think I hear Andrew Nelson. Is that you?
Yeah. I remember listening to a sermon by Pastor Joel Osteen a couple of years ago, and he was, in the course of his sermon, mentioning a whole litany of sins, and one of them was this inordinate shopping. And I thought that was really interesting because, you see, that's a mental illness, I think. I believe that compulsive hoarding and this inordinate shopping kind of go hand in hand. I know that from personal experience with my brother John's that way. And there's this sense of maybe being inadequate, this self-concept, the basis upon which a person determines what their self-worth is, you see, and that they don't feel worthy in and of themselves. So they have to be in personal possession of all this stuff as a status symbol, and it is truly a mental illness. I do very little shopping. I don't shop more than I have to. I went to the shoe repair shop because rather than buying a brand new pair of shoes, I just maybe needed the sole re-sewn back on or a heel to be fixed. You see, I'm very frugal, and I live a very Spartan kind of lifestyle, and that is the way Abdu'l-Bahá, who is the eldest son of Baha'u'llah, was himself. It was always very clean, but it was very Spartan as well. And I think that says something about a person's priorities, because they have bigger priorities. They're not concerned about, trying to show themselves as having some inherent value based on all of these things that they have.
So, Andrew Nelson, how do you think we, as a conscious community, as people who want to see changes, how do you think we should help our brothers and sisters who are so wrapped up in things, cars, houses, clothes? How do you think we should help them wake up to the idea that it's time for a change and we need to stop collecting the stuff? What are some of the things you are doing? I know you demonstrate that with your own lifestyle, but what do you think some of the things we can do to help our brothers and sisters come out of this consumer madness that they're in?
Well, it's been said that an ounce of example is worth a pound of instruction. And I think one should just steadfastly live a very frugal life, because frugality is regarded as a virtue, I think. And it's the antithesis of that is like greed or living according to the spirit of mammon or rather than the spirit of a universe, you see. And the spirit of a universe, I got that from Andrew Young, who is a co-founder of Greenwood Bank, Greenwood being that Black Wall Street neighborhood in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I sent you an email like yesterday, and in the letter itself, it says carbon copy to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and also to Mrs. Vieta Robinson. I don't know if you received that or not. But you might want to check all of your emails at your Hotmail account and see if you can you know, read that one very carefully, because I actually used some of your words when I sent you that text message. That was the very subject of the email. And so I used
Thank
your
you.
Material.
Thank you, Andrew. I had my grandchildren for the last 2 days. I haven't been doing any emails, watching, or checking. I'm so glad when my grandchildren show up because it prioritizes my life immediately. I need to sit and look in their eye every day, every minute, because they're so precious to me and they're so unique. So I will definitely – they're gone home now with their dad. So I'll check my emails this evening and respond to that. Thank you. For sharing that, and I agree with you totally. Being frugal, I was pushed into a frugal lifestyle. My divorce was the beginning of letting go of stuff. I had so many books in my big house with the pool, and I had to let go of a lot of stuff when we sold that house and moved into a smaller condo for a year, and then I moved into a tiny house, 160 square feet, and I loved it. I loved it. Because I was no longer attached to things like I was when I was in my marriage and had children. So I realized when you have children, the toys can consume the house. You know, my son has so many toys for his children because they've been in a divorce situation for the past, 2 years. And what do parents who really are concerned about the health of their children in that situation? They provide enough toys to fill the whole house. And I go there and, okay, what can we get rid of now? Because it's too much. So thank you, Andrew Nelson. I think all of us can take those words from you and Brother Eddie about being frugal and becoming representing what we want others to learn and to practice to get out of this consumerism mental illness that we're in. Storing things, not using things, dust collecting everywhere, and then the garages can't be used when they have the big house. And the sad thing is, and I see somebody, Mom AC, I'm going to open your mic. The sad thing is this. I've seen this so often in my lifetime that when people are hoarding their stuff in their house and then they die, somebody else has to go in there and spend all that energy and time getting rid of their stuff. And that sadly is what happened to one of my very close relatives recently. Both head of the household died within a year of each other, and all the stuff. And this is a four-story house from a basement to a living family room to a kitchen level and then a bedroom level, and it's full of their stuff, and they're dead now, and the relatives have to go in there and clean. They're spending probably a whole year trying to clean out this house, and it frustrates me to no end because it's a degree of self-centeredness. When you're collecting all this stuff, you have no idea when your day of death is going to come, and you're collecting all this stuff like you're going to be on the planet for the rest of eternity. So don't let me get started on that. Anyway, let me go to the phones. Mama AZ is waiting. I want to hear from everyone else about their struggles with their stuff because it's out of control. People, it's out of control. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Thank you for allowing me to have this time. And greetings to your listening audiences. And Okay.
How are you this evening? How are you this evening?
I want to say to Brother Nelson, thank you for all the jewels, dimes that you dropped for concerning the Baha'i faith. I really appreciate your wisdom, very relevant. It was something that I needed to know, the conservativeness of the people who came to the planet to initiate the Baha'i faith. Did I not hear you say those ones were very frugal? And also, Brother Nelson, the 9th, what does the 9th of July represent to you?
Is that you talking to Brother Nelson?
I am, because it's very relevant with what this subject is. Do you know what the 9th of July represents, Brother Nelson?
Nelson, your mic is still open if you want to answer that, I think. Let me see. Yeah, his mic is still open. I don't know if he's there. It
commemorates
the
martyrdom of the Bab, who is the precursor of Baha'u'llah and the Mahdi, or promised one, of Islam.
Yes. I just love the bejesus out of you, sir. You are very, very brilliant and not from this planet individual, Brother Nelson. That is correct. The reason that I ask him this, Dr. V, is because many, many years ago, on the 9th of July, I had a pre-opening in North Carolina in High Point of my campground, Camp Arizona, that I had for 13 years. Well, I didn't know very much, if anything at all, about the Baha'i faith. But the numbers, the days that I would do things on, it seemed to be on very crucial days within the Baha'i faith. And two things that I felt that the Baha'i faith, or the people who initiated it, was back to nature, back to the basics, way back in the day again. And Brother Nelson, you just confirmed that. And I think I heard you say, Dr. V, that the sister who's going through some issues of growth with her that she's dealing with her body, I think I heard you say something about Earth. She's grateful for being able to be with the Earth or something like that. Did you not say
herbs.
That, Dr. V?
Herbs, H-E-R-B-S. She's grateful for all the herbs that are healing her body, the plants that are healing her body.
Oh, herbs. Oh, okay. I got that straight now. However, I thought I heard you say herbs, but you said earth. Well, let me say this to you.
Well, but you know what, sister? That's what connected in my mind the patriarchal system and Mother Earth, because when she was talking about all the herbs that she's using, I thought, you know what? That's why we got to get into bartering, because we need to be helping one another with what is coming out of Mother Earth. That's what she triggered my mind to focus on, the bartering for Mother Earth. That's the only bartering that's important right now, is what we can get out of Mother Earth and help others with, and not have to worry about so much money, using money. Because people are being bribed so easily with things and money right now. I'm so uncomfortable with it. I feel like an alien on this planet every day when I hear about how many people are being bribed for a donut. Okay, and I'm going to have to go, a donut or a lottery ticket. It's like, I'm on from another planet. I just keep thinking. That's why it bothers me. I don't know if it bothers anybody else but me, but I'm taking deep breaths every day when I hear of another bribe that people are falling for to get an injection and all that. So, Mommy Z, we got to go on a break. I think I'm going to go break.
Yes. I'll mute.
Okay, so I'm going to open up my sister. Naima Latif is my executive producer on the Female Solution, and she's running the switchboard now.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
And we are back, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about coming out of this very mind-blowing, controlling patriarchal system. And 314, your mic is open. 314-305, mic is open. And we got another caller. I'll call. Get to you next, 407-797. Go ahead, 314, your mic is open.
Hello, peace to everybody that's listening. I'm trying to go to a quieter location in my house,
okay.
So forgive me.
That's okay.
Okay, I think I can you hear me just fine?
Yes, we can. Go ahead. Who's calling?
Okay, so this is Flower Omega, and
so nice to hear your voice.
Thank you, Elder Viata. It's nice to hear from you too. Spirit just kind of led me to listen to listen into your Blog Talk show tonight, and I didn't know what the topic was going to be, but I guess it's always right on time with the bartering with Mother for the Earth. I think it's a very important topic and discussion that you're leading. So thank you for having it. And you know, I just wanted to call and offer my little two cents on it. You know, I do agree that there's a lot of waste that's going on, and I think that one thing that we can all do that would help, like, tremendously, if we would go to resale shops and buy things from and make it habit to go there for the things that you need for your clothing, for your furnishing, rather than buying it new, because in that industry, like, there's already enough of any clothes that anybody could need, you know?
Yes,
why do we, why must we continue making more at this point?
Right.
You know, it's very
right.
selfish mind of us at this point. And to go into these stores where they're being shipped to the malls, whatever, whenever you go and you get a top and it's 20 of them just like it behind it, I mean, think about the concept of that. You know, first of all, why would you want something that 200 other people are wearing anyway? But then second of all, you know, in order for yours to be made, it would have to have been popular enough for them to reprint it and reprint it and reprint it, you know. And at some point, we have to look at the madness that that is, really, and the mental illness that that is, because it really is one, in my opinion, on society's part. Another thing is, you know, with the resale shops, there's not packaging. Like, there's so much trash on the earth when you go to the store from the packaging. And when you don't go outside and you don't spend time and on Mother Earth, and it's not just to go outside and look at the sunset, but go and understand, like, how the earth works and processes stuff. If you see plastic on the ground, do you know how long it takes for that to decompose? I mean, we just have this thing in our mind, like, there's some magic hole that stuff goes to. And there is. There's the dumpster. But then you use chemicals. And when you use chemicals, do you have any idea what the effect that has on the ecosystem? So trash, it's like packaging, things that come in packaging. How much stuff do we order on Amazon? Like, and when is Amazon going to step up and show some type of morality and principles in how they put their packaging out there, you know, where something that can be, you know, recycled easily? You know, so that's my spiel on that. I had another subject I wanted to speak on, but before I do, I guess I'll let somebody else have an opportunity.
Well, I really appreciate you bringing up all of those issues, especially thrift stores. I wouldn't shop at a Macy's or any other store in the rest of my lifetime again. I have enough clothes right now where I don't need any more clothes, but thrift stores are full of, it just blows my mind when I go into a thrift store and see how many clothes people have given away that they don't need. And thank goodness, Flower, that they're not throwing them in the trash, that they are bringing them to thrift stores. Because, and here's how you shop at a thrift store. There's nothing like buying a $2 top, a silk top from a thrift store. It's like blows my mind. Anyway, you go in there and look for the colors that match your skin tone. That I learned that from a woman who specialized in helping women dress to their tone of skin and all that, and enhance their beauty by shopping in thrift stores. She would take groups of people to thrift store to help them buy clothes that match the color of their skin. And you can have so much fun doing that. Because all you have to do is look for your size and your color, and then $2 for a blouse, that's the smartest thing in the you can do. So I appreciate you mentioning that, Flower, because that is so true, to be more conscious. And then not support companies like Amazon, who are wasting more goods in the earth, polluting the atmosphere with more items, more stuff. And then the sad thing is that consumers are buying into it, calling them up Amazon every day to get something delivered. And I recognize that even Whole Foods, for a while Whole Foods was using these silver thermal bags to deliver their food, and they can't be recycled. So they were creating more trash by their delivery system
that was just irritating the heck out of me. And then they changed, thank goodness. Now they're using some kind of recycle. They must have had complaints about it. But, yeah, I appreciate you bringing all of that up. And I'm going to keep your mic open, and let me go to another caller who's been holding on and let them speak about this issue. 407-797, your mic is open.
Good night, my conscious brothers and sisters. I just remember when I came upon the consciousness and understood and overstood that Christmas was nothing but a big promotion. That the whole thing. And then my consciousness expanded further, and I realized that all of the so-called holidays were all big promotions. Now they even have a Juneteenth sale going on, you know. So let me tell you something. Please understand and understand this. I have these magnificent aunts, and I would go and visit them. They lived in Oxford Hill, Maryland. You know, they were among the first Afro-ethnics to move out into this great suburban country, Washington, Oxford Hill, Washington. You know, so listen, I would go and I'd ask my uncles. They lived on corner lots across from each other. I said, "Where are my aunts?" And they said, "Oh, well, they went shopping." I said, "Well, what did they go to get?" And they said, "We don't know. They always want to go get something." And it was the most incredible thing. My aunts had so many clothes and so many stuffed and stacked clothes. So they would go and buy stuff, and then they would find that they already had it in their closets. So you got to understand that consumerism promoted to us from the very, very inception of our lives. This whole thing about Christmas is about buying, giving, and gifts. That is the deal. And it is inculcated into us. We are promoted. We are absolutely and completely just hypnotized by this whole process. And the final analysis, it comes down with, what did you get for Christmas? That's what we used to say as kids. What did you get? What did you get? What did you get? And you know what? And they're still doing it today. My grandchildren have toys just like your grandchildren have piles of toys. And after they play with them for a couple of days, they don't even remember them anymore. But the whole point is, it's a consumer-based economy. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, and I'll tell you why. Because at least when we were manufacturing the goods, it provided and expanded our personal econometrics. We would manufacture the goods, we'd get paid to do so, and the money would stay and continue to circulate in the economy. You got to understand that money is nothing but a concept. It really doesn't actually exist. The whole medium of exchange idea, which at once upon a time based on a trade of goods, and then instead of trading goods, you started trading metals, and the metals had value. And then they stopped trading metals, and then they just started trading paper. And now they don't even trade paper. They trade digits. And so, you know, you don't actually see something physical happen anymore. It's something that appears on a computer screen. And the more digits you get, I guess the happier you're supposed to be, or your life is supposed to be better. But it really isn't. So, unfortunately, American economy can exist without this consumer-driven passion that they promote into your head. What do you think they're doing on television all the time? What do you think they're doing on radio all the time? That's why they call it commercial radio and commercial television, because they're always selling you something. Do you know how many selling messages you would see every day? It's something like 9,000. And how is it possible that you're going to be able to withdraw from that? How can you withstand that kind of onslaught? You can't. You can't unless you rise to another level of consciousness where the carbonation of our melanation, you know, takes us to a level where the kundalini activates our pineal gland, and then we see and overstand another level of consciousness that is beyond what we have been promoted to understand. That is going to be few and far between unless we have programs like this one that start to permeate our consciousness. It is not going to change, Vayaka.
Well, let me let Flower Omega come back in, and then Mama Z, you might want to comment too, because Flower Omega, were you always this beautiful, conscious, rebellious person, earth person? How did you get into the, and you have children, I think, right? You can share that. How did you get into this very conscious lifestyle that you're in? What happened in your life, and maybe you can help some other people make that transition? Flower Omega, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And thank you for the compliment, Sister Beata. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
That was Justin Blount, who just spoke. He is in here in Orlando sharing his wisdom, and he was the founder of Essence Magazine, so he speaks with a lot of wisdom and experience. So, and he makes a good point. It's very difficult for people to wake up out of this slumber of consumerism. So I'd like to, for you to share, how did you wake up? Because not all of us were this conscious at one time. So go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I don't recall like one particular incident where I woke up. I just kind of always have been very conscious and aware and in tune with Earth from the time that I was a little girl.
Okay.
I always elected to play and learn the ground and the trees and the, you know, when the other kids would be over there playing ball or whatever they, you know, I would go socialize for a minute, but then I wanted to go back and play in the ground. I wanted to see how mud, different textures of mud work to hold up sticks to make little houses for little fairies and stuff, you know. And I don't know, I think it's more of a life purpose or a life path or something to do with the reason that I incarnated here in this lifetime that I did. It was just a pre-made assignment. It must have been, because that it's been with me my whole life.
Right, okay, thank you. And Mama AZ, she has, I don't think she's always been an earth-bound woman. Mama AZ, are you there?
I am. The nurse is
and
here.
I have to say, hello, Mama AZ. I haven't said that yet, but it's so good to hear from you. This is Mama AZ has been one of my most profound teachers, with this being in tune with the earth, and learning how to work with it and respect it. So that's who Mama AZ has been to me. So I'm going to let her talk.
Okay, family. The nurse is here to change my IV, so I'm going to mute for a minute, okay?
Okay. Okay, so Flower Omega, Jonathan mentioned something that I think is very popular with children and toys. Oh, my goodness. You know, nowadays children have tablets. And I'm so grateful that my son dropped my grandchildren off this weekend and no tablets. They got real used to just doing what we do around here, doing yoga, and we're going outside and just having a good time without those damn tablets. And I shouldn't say that, because they learn a lot from them. But, oh, my goodness, they're like almost a drug for them, because they get so used to those things. How are you dealing with that your children's teaching tools and the things that they need to grow and not be so addicted to things?
You know, it is a challenge. It is a challenge. Even for me, I have four children, and the three of my children are adults. And I say adults meaning, you know, over the age of 18. But those they're not so addicted to it, or they don't want it so much, because they were born in that crossover area, you know, where technology wasn't what it was when they were in high school. They kind of had flip phones and stuff, so they weren't just like my 6-year-old. I mean, he's completely in it. He's completely in it. And so we have to, his father and I have to be strict in setting the schedule and a reward system and a complete cutoff system when we think it's, you know, affecting things. But he definitely wants it. He wants to go online. He wants to play games. He wants, you know, it is a challenge, you know. So, you know, but when you take them outside, you can take them in the backyard. As soon as they get out there, they ain't thinking about it no more.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's
part of
that's the grandparents' job, Jonathan, is to distract them into nature. They really don't even think about it. They're not asking for it. And they have this amazing imagination once they're outside, especially in Florida where the weather is really nice right now. We went to the beach on yesterday. So that was totally consuming them. They didn't want to get out of that water. The waves, they were playing in the waves, and they had their boogie boards, and they were learning how to float on waves. They were so happy that the solution to directing our grandchildren and even our children is to find these nature activities, whether it's the beach or in the forest or somewhere in it. Find the all the time we can give them in those areas, I think it's going to help them detach and not be so addicted to these gadgets and all the other toys and things. They lose interest in that when they find joy in nature. And that's where grandparents, I think, have to really work on getting them in these environments where they have joy and they're laughing and smile. They might just love the beach. So we're going to take advantage of the beach as long as the weather is good here in Florida, as far as I'm concerned. And I encourage anyone out there who has young children, even older children, try and get to those natural places in the forest or wherever where they can find that joy and happiness that they need instead of finding it in a tablet. I mean, I think those tablets should be only learning tools, not entertainment. But I understand when parents get exhausted and they need a break, here, get on the tablet. Here, have the tablet. Do whatever you want. I'm going to take a nap now. So I see that with, you know, my grandson or my son and his ex-wife, they always give them the tablet when they need a break. So that's where grandparents' role is so important. And that's where it takes a village to raise a child. If we're going to raise healthy grandchildren and young, this new generation, and not have raised a bunch of addicts, because the dopamine from these tablets is having an effect on them. Longer they're using them, and the more parents are directing them to that type of entertainment and stimulation. So we've got to interfere, Jonathan. We've got to interfere as much as we can to get them on a healthier track of entertainment and stimulation and joy. They find a lot of joy on those tablets. They can be on those tablets all day, just like grown folks on their phones. But we've got to find ways to distract them. They don't really like to read, although my granddaughter did say now her favorite subjects are science and reading, because she's only in second grade. So reading is new to her, and she's getting into books that she likes. So even books at that age, 5, 7, if we can find the right books that are going to keep them distracted from all the other addictive type elements and tools, we're on the right path. We're on the right path. And that's why we're talking about tonight, about the need to come out of this very mind-controlling patriarchal system back to Mother Earth and bartering with natural items that people can grow and be healed from, like herbs and plants and learning how to get our gardens growing and going. And even if you don't have a garden, using the money that you have, not on a new car or bigger house or new clothes, like we're talking about, go to thrift stores and find your colors that will make you happy Don't have to spend a lot of money on Gucci bags either. We don't need Gucci bags anymore. Let the Kardashians and all those people who have the money for that debt. We're going to talk about debt when we come back. Who do we owe our lives, our breath to? Where should our debt be? And I'm Naima, if you're ready, whenever you're ready for the last break, your mic is open. But we really do.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
And we're back, and thank you for joining me this evening. I had a lot of technical difficulties earlier, and thank you for your patience. I'm adjusting to my little bitty iPhone. My iPhone seems so small now because I'm doing my show in the studio in my iPhone, and I'm glad that my tablet is working, but my Apple has crashed, and I need a new laptop. So if anybody wants to send me a new laptop, I'll receive it, but in the meantime, I'm going to look into options for doing what I love to do. I love creating these shows because I do some research. I learn a lot when I come up with a title for the show. I learn so much. And Kwame texted me something about Ubuntu. I think it's Ubuntu. Maybe he'll come on. If he presses 1, I'll open his mic to talk about Ubuntu. If he's in the studio, I don't even know. Okay. If you want to share about Ubuntu, Kwame Sunhorse, press 1. Good. Because this is a way of bartering, what we're talking about, bartering. And it's I think it's an old practice of bartering. And for those of you who are just joining us, it's so important these days when people are being bribed into taking chemicals in their body, destroying Mother Earth's property. This is Mother Earth's property here, this human body, and destroying Mother Earth because what they're doing to make these chemicals coming from Mother Earth or wherever, and then help and people being unconscious. When you bribed into taking poison into your body or being injected with something, then your mind changes. It changes your mind, in my opinion. And so Kwame has mentioned something called Ubuntu, I think it's called. So Kwame, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us this evening. Are you there? Your mic's open. Are you on mute?
Yeah, I was muted. I was muted.
Okay, open up the mic.
Yeah, I remember, forget that I'm mute. And I sent that, but good evening to you, Viata, and Mama AZ, and good to hear Flower Omega and the brother who started Essence and Brother Andrew, all of the supporters of this. And this is part of Ubuntu because each one of us is contributing and it's not costing nothing in sharing the knowledge and things in which we've experienced in our life. And so what William Talger is using in an African tradition, Ubuntu on Ubuntu, a person is a person because they're people. And the thing that they looked at in this traditional way of using no money in a bartering system, and that we could contribute. And this is what I came using that concept with the Overground Railroad. And this is part of the oasis that I've been talking about, our ancestor spirit in service, and that there are about seven now black farmers over in Alabama and Mississippi that are networking together with their oasis, and they are contributing and helping each other to farm their land because the others have equipment that maybe the other one doesn't have. And so what they're doing is sharing their equipment, and they're gathering together on weekends and working on each other's land in order to exchange, you know, their energy in order to help to yield the crops that they will each be able to have produce to sell or to market. And so these are the ways in which, you know, looking at just that black farming, you know, there's a excellent book about Say Yes to Debt. His name is Dr. DeForest, and he's a pastor. But what he has a part in there, he says, is that the debtor is a slave to the lender. And this is what we're looking at, because we get into all of this debt by consuming. And the thing of it is that we basically need our basic necessities, you know, food, clothing, shelter. And the thing that I had to learn that when I was homeless a few years ago, and an elder told me, I was living in my tent, and he told me, I said, well, I'm a homeless vet. And he says, no, you're never homeless. It's because the earth is your floor, the sky is your ceiling, the trees and the mountains are your walls. You just need a place to put your stuff in. And you gave a good example coming out of that big house and then coming into the tiny house and learning how to downsize. I have to look at, you know, I have a lot of books because I use books as references and artwork. And so in looking at certain tools in which you use, then you learn to use those tools to be able to distribute and to even exchange, because in lending out books or referencing books where people can go and find the information helps to pass the knowledge. So we look at the Ubuntu with William Talgert. You're looking at the Overground Railroad, the Oasis. You look at what Brother Andrew was sharing about. And, you know, being a hoarder. And being in that mindset to thinking that you got to have this, and the thing that you learn is you came into this world naked, and you're going out of this world dressed in whatever attire that you're going in, but all of the stuff that you consume does not go with you. And so we have to understand that in the accumulation of things, we accumulate, and this is what they researched and found out, a lot of people put energy into stuff, and they hold that energy, be it positive or negative. They hold that energy in a space, and then that energy stays to where they don't have room for new energy to come into their life. And so it's looking at how we have to learn how to open our hands to receive and open our hearts to receive, because we can get egotistical and have a hard heart because we want things our way and no other way, and that is dangerous. So I'm grateful that, you know, in divine order with this new moon and setting intentions for people to look at how they can change and release, because Andrew was also right too when he was saying it's a mental illness. Because of that part of holding on to things is that we feel that, you know, we feel a certain way about attachments, and we have to learn that, you know, it comes and it's going to go. Thing is that in life there is death, and then there's life and death. There's cycles. And we have to learn that there are things that were good for us when we were young in our 20s, but they no longer serve us in our 60s and 70s. So it's looking at how do you pass it on. You know, a lot of the information that I found from my great-great-grandmother, I'm archiving it and making note of it to pass on to my daughters and my sons and my granddaughters and grandsons. So they will know when someone asks, where do you come from? Who were your people? You will be able to show documentations that your great-great-grandmother was, here's her teacher's license from 1908. She was a student at Holly Springs College in Mississippi. And so these are documentations in order to record what it is that we have come from. And this is what museums are set up for. They go and steal archive things and they put it into a museum and they hoard all of these things. If you go in some museum basements, they have catalogs of things that they've gotten and they hold on to. But these are energies that were taken from spaces that were put in sacred place, put there for sacred reasons, that they now hold that energy. So we're looking at many things, you know, in looking at being hoarded or being consumed by having, kind of what it is, because we teach our children. They learn to consumerism. I remember a little kid was sitting in the store and he was crying in the buggy. And the mother told him that she didn't have the money, and the little kid told him, well, then you take that ATM card in your pot, in your purse and go get the money. I want my toy.
Oh, boy. Yep, that's what they get used to.
That's how trained that we've become with our children.
And adults are just the same way, where they feel entitled to certain things that they really don't need. But, you know, you mentioned books. When I sold my big house, I had, oh, my goodness, oh, probably over 200 books. I had a garage sale, got rid of a few. But then when I moved into my tiny house, I made a decision to not buy any more books. Once I put the books that I had in a house that I was renting out, I decided I'm not going to buy any more new books. And what I did was start doing e-books and Kindle. And so that really did help to make that commitment. If you're like us, that's what we do, buy books and we read and we educate ourselves. But I had to stop that because I didn't have any more room. So now the books that I do have, I have one bookcase. I had three bookcases at one time in my other house, so just books everywhere. But now I have one book full of older books. And then I don't buy any new books anymore. When people suggest a book, is it on Kindle? If it's not, I can't buy it because I refuse to add any more books to my collection. And you can just, oh, there's just e-books now. That's the better way
I know we like to
hold them.
Right, but I found out with looking at these, a lot of books that I had obtained in the early 60s and now are out of print, and the people are ancestors now. And the thing that you go and look and see, I've got books that I've seen that they're on Amazon or on Thrift Bookstore or a bookstore. These books are $200 and $300 now. And so you're looking at, okay, I could pass this on and they can do this. Or even when we watch things like the show Antique Roadshow, and looking at things that has value that may not have been, you know, at one time looked at as valuable, but to the consumer's market, it has. So it's looking at how to use certain things in order to make the exchange. Because if you can sell that book or put that book or donate that book, just like I know that Dr. John Henry Clark, he donated out of his personal library 20,000 books to Clark Atlanta University Library. 20,000 books that he accumulated over his lifetime that he donated to that library. And these are the ways in which we can begin to do and that we have, or you can donate all these old clothes to not just give it to thrift stores, but you can donate it to shelters, because those people in those shelters are needing in need of clothing. So if you're not wearing it and it's been in there a few years, donate it to someone that can use it and wear it and dress halfway decent.
Right. I think as we get older, especially those of us in our 60s, 70s and older, we need to start donating a lot of things. It's time, in my opinion, to start letting go of the material things and being attached to spiritual things. My stepmother had 36 Bibles in her basement bookcase. And I was in her basement one day just counting them, because I knew she had a lot of Bibles, and she transferred the Bibles from the upstairs room to the basement. She made a bookcase down there, 36 Bibles. I counted them, and I thought, wow, what are you going to do with this if you die? And sure enough, she died last year, and now other people are having to get rid of the 36 Bibles. So it's like that was such a lesson to me. I got one little pocket Bible in my collection now. I used to have about five. I had maybe a 10. One time I had 10 Bibles, and they're all gone. I donated those, and I got one little Bible, because the Bible is not my major source of spiritual education and knowledge. The Bible is not a major source of knowledge for me anymore. So I want to encourage all of you to look at your collection of books. If you're a book collector like I am and Kwame, look at that collection of books and decide, especially if you're getting older, and even if you're not, you don't know when you're going to leave this planet. And no one should have to get rid of your stuff, whether it's books or whatever.
Oh.
It's just so unselfish, so narcissistic to think you're going to have all this stuff somebody should get rid of for you. So look at those books, really, to make a conscious decision of what is feeding me the knowledge I need now. Am I just feeding my ego with my books? Because at some point, these books are just feeding your ego. You don't really need them for knowledge and growth and evolution anymore. But look at the books, if you have hundreds like I did at one time, and just decide that someone else can use this knowledge. Start giving those books away. Give them away. Don't even sell them. Just give them away. You'll be blessed. Believe me, I was blessed immensely just getting rid of stuff. I get blessings just kept coming and coming as I let go of my stuff. So if you're looking to be
and
blessed,
another,
go ahead.
Okay, it's one other thing, and people that have things of value.
Yeah.
It's good to write a will. To be able to know, because if you don't have a will, it goes into the state, takes over your estate, and then they have the choice in selling and making the money off of your estate. If you don't document how the stuff that you're leaving, besides a house and a car or whatever, if you have certain items, because my mom did that the last time I went up to Chicago when she had her mild heart attack. The thing that she did is she says, okay, what do you want? She asks each one of her children, what do you want? And the different things that my china cabinet, I want this. I want your jewelry. I want this. And so what she did is that she put it in and wrote it down to say, okay, this is what each person is getting. Oh, I want my granddaughter to have this. I want my grandson to have that. And so when we do this, then we have a guide to see how to distribute their generational wealth. And these are the ways in which we have to begin to look at. And how we distribute what we've accumulated that has value, because, you know, I got my grandmother's crystal candy bowl that I used to go into her house every time as a child and get candy, and that was the favorite thing that I wanted. I didn't want all the other stuff. I got a fishing rod of my grandfather's, the one that he taught me with. Those things have sentimental value.
Yeah,
and you can't put a price on it. Those are things in which you find. So this is what you need to talk over with our children.
You need to make you need to make an honest assessment of what is, quote, valuable to you versus your grandchildren. I was working in my landowner's house a couple of years ago. I used to clean his house. He must have had about 300 or 400 LPs now, LPs with the cover and everything just collected. I'd go in there and dust them off. And I was telling him, you know, you really should get rid of that. He said, oh, no, those are valuable. My grandchildren will want them. I said, listen, honey, your grandchildren ain't thinking about these LPs. They got MP players. They got car. They got phone. Everything's in their phone. I had to really wake him up to the idea that those things ain't valuable to your grandchildren. Are you serious? And I have tried, I tried to sell my LPs. I took them to a LP shop. And they said if there was even one scratch on there, they weren't worth anything. So I said, really? I was so disappointed because I had, like most of us, a nice collection of LPs, old LPs with the nice covers. And they weren't in the best of shape. But I thought I can get some money off of these because I don't play them. I don't have an LP player. And this guy was deceived enough to think that those LPs were going to be as valuable to his grandchildren as they were to him. He was totally deceived. Not going to happen. The grandchildren could kill us about our old LPs.
And what really gets it is when you do your research, and albums are now full circle. They're valuable now because they're making them marketable again, because they're reprinting a lot of things over and people are collecting old albums. But the jackets of LPs, it's like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, the Sugar Shack, I think it was. That was done by Ernie Barnes. And that album, because it's a print, the value of that album jacket, $250 just for that jacket.
Well, if it's in good shape, yes. But if it's all torn and worn out, nobody wants that. Nobody's going to buy it.
No, I see your point. But what I'm sharing is that you can take that money. If you took it and said, okay, I'm going to sell it, and then I'm going to put it into an account for my grandchild.
Right. And he wasn't even willing to do that. He wanted to hold – he was so attached to those LPs. He was telling me he was saving them for his grandchildren, but really it was an addiction that he had to look at. Look at all – you know, we look at all those beautiful LPs, how much fun – the memory, just the memories in those LPs is, like, valuable to many people. And how much we played them on our LP player that we don't even have any. Some people don't even have, doesn't work, you can't even find the LP player, whatever. But you love the LP. And so I'm just suggesting for those of you who are trying to hold on to your LPs for the inherit, somebody to inherit, they're going to throw them in the trash when they get them. They're not even going to bother. You got 200 or more LPs, they're not going to bother to be going through those LPs. This generation got their own mind about what's valuable and what's not, and your LPs are not going to be in that list, I'm telling you. So let's just get rid of them while we can, especially baby boomers. Get rid of those LPs. They were fun. They were nice. And that money that you think you're going to make on those LPs. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I think it's more important to let go of stuff that you think is valuable, that you can make money for the grants and all that. This is my personal experience. I let go of a lot of stuff that I probably or maybe could have made money on, blah, blah, blah. I got the blessings that I needed from that experience of just letting go, because there's something about in your psyche, in your spirit, in your soul, letting go of material things and embracing invisible non-material things that will bring more health to your body and your being and more mental clarity, more mental health. Gets rid of all the mental illness when you let go of the stuff, because it's an addiction in your mind and your soul that you think you need these material things to have a quality life, to have more money in your life, blah, blah, blah. All the excuses that we can make for holding on to material things. The creator, the universe is saying you're deceived. You're deceived if you think holding on to all these material things is going to bring you wealth or more pleasure or even bring more prosperity to your family. Forget it. I'm telling you from experience, forget it. It's not going to happen. Just let go, let go. I was ready to just burn. Andrew Nelson says people should offer their things at, quote, free cycle. Yeah, offer them anywhere. Just get rid, let go, let go. When you're living in a space that has very few material things in, that's when the blessings are going to come in. They're going to just flow like magic. Oh, so it's so wonderful to experience all those blessings when you just let go of what you think is valuable. Take inventory with the Most High, with the universe, the cosmos, and ask them that meditation, what is really valuable? What do I really need to hold on to? Guess what? You'll be in an empty room if you're really listening to spirit. Be an empty room. And then the blessings will come in abundance, in such abundance. So because people are in debt, people cannot even afford to buy what they really need in this life. And that's because they're still holding on to all these material things that are interfering with the blessings flowing to give them all that they need. All that we need comes when we let go of material possessions. So I hope this show has been helpful for you, and may you share it with those who are struggling, because these next few months, we cannot afford to be holding on
90 seconds
to material things. And Naima Latif, your mic is open if you want to play our global ending. Tomorrow, join Zelda. Zelda is going to be talking with, let me see, who is that? Singer Kim Weston will be on tomorrow morning with Monday Morning Mindfulness. I will be there. I love that woman. So let us begin today, tonight, to start looking around at the patriarchal
60 seconds
that is on your life that makes you hold on to things that you really don't need in this journey going forward, and that will be replaced. I'm going to say, well, yourself will be replaced in ways that you never imagined when you just start clearing out your environment, letting that energy flow around you that will bring you peace, that will bring you health. If your body is suffering in any way, just start letting go of things, moving stuff out, giving it away, Goodwill, thrift store, free cycle. Just start moving that stuff out, and you will experience the blessings that you need in this journey. So I want to thank you, Naima Latif.
10 seconds.
Playing our global farewell. And thank you, Facebook friends, for hanging in there with me as I manage these technology issues and internet issues. We're getting it together slowly. But either way, it's a good learning experience for all of us to not depend on technology so much, but to flow and trust that spirit will give us exactly what we need in the moment when we connect to people and not things. This consumerism, the whole problem is we've substituted consumerism and things for human connection. So may you all connect, do more connecting to your friends and family instead of connecting to your stuff. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you tomorrow morning in the Monday Morning Mindfulness platform. Shalom.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain.
Merci beaucoup.
Gracias. Italy.
Muchas gracias.
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 Shukran.
Ghana. Shukran.
Madasi. Nigeria.
Madasi.
Eshe. South
Eshe.
Africa. Nyabonga.
Senegal.
Geret. Kenya. Asante.
Asante.
Israel. Toda. Pakistan.
Toda.
Shukriya. Afghanistan.
Shukriya.
Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Oh, dear.